It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
All right, Sam, good morning. Welcome. Hi. Welcome into the studio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sam's here with us to discuss what's happening on screens. Your screens. Today we're talking Netflix, aren't we? We're talking big Netflix hoo-ha.
Yeah, big old hoo-ha. So we're talking about love, death, and robots.
Which
I keep calling love, sexy robots, but that's just because it's full of sexy robots, and that's just part of what it's all about, really.
It really is. It really is. I saw it. Initially, I thought it was just three. I thought it was three short films for some reason, because that's what it's called. Love.
Oh, you thought it was like love. One called Love, one called Death, and one called Robots?
Yeah.
Because there's one of the first three is called Three Robots, right?
Yeah. That's what I thought. And then suddenly I went, oh, look how many there are. Oh, and I just plugged into the whole night.
You plugged into the whole thing in one go?
Yeah.
I watched about 11 yesterday.
So to be fair, about 13, 14, how many 16 or something?
It is 18 or something. It's hard to tell because they're not numbered at all.
Right.
Okay, so anyway.
So, but here's the interesting thing about them. Firstly, who's the overseeing, is it David? Who's the director that's just sort of the?
Head honcho. I didn't even Google the head honcho. I just thought it was all different creators.
You just threw me under
the robotic bus.
Yeah.
Tell us what you do know, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do know. So, Love, Death, and Robots is this anthology animated series on Netflix where the episodes are like 6 minutes to 17 minutes long, which is like super weird for a show as well, because like usually things are at least 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And they're just like a collection of short films that are all from different creators and different art styles and different stories, and nothing's related really. And they're all like cool and weird and like edgy. Edgy is one of the best words
definitely
to describe them.
Definitely NSFW.
Yeah, 16 plus, drug use, lots of nudity.
I think they're 18 plus, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, if I remember rightly, if I remember getting excited.
Well, there's a lot to see. Like, some of it is softcore porn. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Okay, sure.
And one of the coolest things about the show, apart from the shorts themselves being pretty fucking cool, I reckon, is that they do a really cool different thing with Netflix. Now they're doing a different show, like episode order for different people.
Da, da, da.
So they've taken your data and they've...
Your algorithms.
They've algorithmed you and put the episodes with a different starting episode for each person depending on what they like. So typically for straight people, they'll get either Beyond the Aquila Rift, which is this one about this... guy waking up in a space station that he was not meant to be in and finding an old lover, and they just have lots of softcore animated sex. Or the one you watched, Mikey, which
is the sort of the assassin from across the way, which is amazing animation,
which features like a fetishy club scene where she's fully nude.
What are you saying? I'm just
so there's definitely they cater to the straight audience, but then the one that Tess and I both have as the first one is the one which features a lesbian love scene. So I don't know what that says about Tess.
I'm not sure, I'm homosexual, so that makes sense.
But Tess, what are you?
I'm straight. Have you watched
Queer Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think that's it. If you watch Queer Eye, you get the lesbian scene first in this show, which I think is kind of that's a reach.
Well, yeah,
but. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is a bit of a reach. You know, like, I mean, I haven't donned the gimp suit for many a year. And.
That's a reference to the show. It wasn't just a throwaway comment. There is gimp suits in the show.
Yeah.
What's your favorite episode, Mikey?
That one, stylistically, that one was amazing.
Yeah, the animation style for that one.
Yeah.
It's called The Witness.
The Witness. Yeah, that was sensational. But then I just like with some of them. I even like the one when you've got the. It's not even a spoiler. When you've got the aliens coming out of the portal, but they're all down on the farm and they have to get into their big exoskeletons and that stuff.
Felt really, really like fully realized. Like, it felt like it was a beginning, middle, end. It had like stakes. It was like a summer blockbuster in like 17 minutes, which is really hard to achieve.
Yeah, and then you've got things like the one that you're talking about, to the runaway spaceship one with the former lover.
Yeah, ooh. Beyond the Aquila Rift.
Look out!
Ooh. Yeah, that one's freaky.
What you were trying to say before. Is it? It's David Fincher, who did David Seven Fincher. And Fight Club. Directed. Oh. He's the executive producer.
Oh,
though, not
whose
the
movies I like very much.
Yeah, that's so good.
But he directed Seven.
Thank you,
and
thank
Fight
you,
Club.
Tess, for thank
Sorry,
you.
I wasn't quite
Saving
sure where
there.
You were going with that.
But there was something there.
There was something there.
But they're all vastly different. Some of them are manga-y sort of style. Some of them
aren't even about robots. Some of them are just about people and love and death.
Yeah. Like that one, the one you're talking about, Zima Blue.
Honestly, my favorite.
Zima Blue is so out there.
Zima Blue is like about.
I felt like I'd found like a one-off graphic novel.
I know Zima Blue. Zima Blue reminds me of what I wanted Velvet Buzz BuzzFeed to be. Like, about like the weird art world and just like how far you can take art. And then how, and like, it ends with this like really poetic message about how like even finding joy in the smallest things is all you need to do. And it was just like,
it was beautiful. Like, it was just beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, and the fact that they're all animated, because I know lots of people don't really like animated stuff, but like this animation style is so cool for and also different for all of them.
And I think that's because they are over and done fairly quickly. You can, if you're not entirely down with the animation on one of them, you can you're always surprised by the next one. You know,
you're out of there within like 17 minutes. You've got so much time. I like I've been leaving episodes.
Texting and saying one that grabbed me was the Reptile Mind Control Fight Club.
Oh, Sunny's Edge, which is the first one. That's the one that me and Tia both saw. Yeah, so that one features a lesbian kiss. And it's that's why I think it's aimed at people that have watched Queer Eye.
I think there's a couple of lesbian kisses, to be honest, in some of them.
There's lots of boobs, definitely lots of boobs. But I definitely counted the lesbian kisses, and I only saw one.
There's some strong women.
Definitely some strong women. Honestly, this show is really cool. And also, the show is like really well done in that it doesn't just have white people in it. Like, it manages to have like lots of interracial couples and interracial just people. It's not like they've just like hired white animators that have just done themselves on a thing.
So the whole thing's animated, though. Hey,
whole thing's animated. Well, no.
CGI.
Definitely CGI. Yeah. It's a, there's a couple there, including the ice. It's called the ice box.
Yeah, the ice box one is, I think it's called the Ice Age.
And
actually features actors.
Is it recommended to watch it in the order that it suggests for you?
I guess so.
You could dip in.
What you could do is see which order it lays it out for you, and then watch it backwards.
Yeah, but like, so.
But then it won't do that thing where it like connects, you know, next episode starting.
Netflix hasn't released how they did the algorithm yet, though. So they haven't explained it. They said there's four different episode orders, but they've
told you that much.
They said that much, but they haven't said why. And people have tried to like figure it out.
Stop fiddling with us.
Oh, Netflix is playing with us. We're just pawns in Netflix game.
That's scary, isn't it? They're inside your brains.
I personally reckon everyone should just give it a go because it's just a really fun different thing.
It's a great precedent, doesn't it? For like a big, it's like a big, really good chocolate assortment.
Yeah, it just has everything for everyone. Like, you can literally watch anything. It has so many familiar faces. Like, if you like Orange is the New Black, there's Pussy from that. She's in Lucky Number 13, which is about that spaceship.
Like that one.
Do you like that one? Because it was pretty gun heavy, right?
Yeah. And I was just saying to Sam, too, I felt they were a little bit gun heavy.
Yeah.
Watching them post the Christchurch thing.
Totally.
Maybe that's a bit of my emotional veneer getting cut down a wee bit there.
I think it's also a sci-fi trope, is that like a lot of it, because it's super sci-fi, all sci-fi.
Yeah.
I think a lot of sci-fi is based around like guns and fighting and stuff.
Yeah. Interesting.
Someone texted in saying, I'm a cis straight male and I had the Monster Jewel as my starter too.
Did you watch
Queer Eye? Is that the one that we had?
Oh, Monster Jewel. Sunny's Edge, it's called. So there's Sunny's Edge, Beyond the Queer Little Rift, and what was the one you watched
again? Witness.
The Witness, yeah. So there's definitely something going on with Netflix, which is really cool. I mean, I'm into it. I know it's like surveillance state and like, don't take my data, but like, take my data, so it's kind of fun. You know, like, I'm kind of into it.
All right, so it's on Netflix right now and you can watch the whole thing.
Go watch it, please do.
Oh, yeah, what'd you think of the werewolf one?
I really liked it. I really liked the werewolf one. I thought it was really, I thought it was like kind of...
Super buddy movie.
Yeah, and poetic at the end, and it was like cool, 'cause you didn't know what was going on and stuff happened.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't know, I liked it. I like most of them, really. Yeah. The only one I don't think I really liked was the Junkyard Dude. But like, that's just because it was like a joke that went on too long.
Yeah. That was kind of boring.
You could kind of see the end coming up. Yeah. You know?
Well, that looked cool.
They all look kind of cool, right?
And
one of the really coolest looking ones is they're in the desert and then the car breaks down and then weird stuff starts happening.
Yeah, what a funky one that one was. That was a trip, wasn't it? I guess we've all dreamed that to happen.
Yeah, we've all, you know, done, yeah.
I mean, did he, was he dream? I mean,
I don't know. And nothing is ever answered. One big flaw with it is they do cut to something like chomping at the screen at the end of like almost every episode. It's kind of annoying that it all ends on the same note, but other than that, all good.
Well, yeah, definitely none of them end with none of them resolve like, and that's the end, and they're all happily ever after.
Yeah, it was
all
yeah, go watch it, guys.
That was Viewmaster on 95 BFM.
It's a solid review right there.
They got the best orbit for all that.